new group has formed in South Australia, a group that says it will challenge openly and responsibly the different religious views and groups in our society. It's a group that says it believes in atheism and therefore is called Atheism SA. Brian Morris is the president of this new group, Atheism SA. Brian, good afternoon.
Oh, hi, Sonia. Good to be with you.
Brian, why did you feel a group like this was needed?
Well, look, it's been a long time coming, Sonia. It's been over 40 years since the federal body, the Atheist Federation of Australia, was formed actually in South Australia about 40 years ago. There have been a number of sort of amorphous groups, but I mean, generally, atheists as a whole have been quite happy to sit with a group of two or three, drink the odd wine, and just talk about philosophical issues for a while. But I think the thing that's happened now, there's been a tremendous movement. You would be well aware of Richard Dawkins and Sam Harris, Lawrence Krauss, the new atheist movement, which is looking to raise the profile and say, well, look, in a lot of Western countries, there's really more than 50% of the population that are no longer religious. They're non-religious. They don't believe. Here in Australia, in our census in 2011 showed that 22.3% of people had no religion. But we also know there's at least another 30, going on 35, even 40%, who regard themselves as being cultural Christians. They haven't practiced any sort of religion since they were first taught a religion in their childhood.
So, Brian, if you don't have the belief, why do you think it's an important thing to do to have a group that espouses that?
Okay.
Don't you just sit there and go, well, I don't believe?
Well, and a lot of people take exactly that position, Sonia, but the reason that there's a range of organisations, as I say, right across the Western world and in other countries too, but certainly here in Australia we have a broad raft of social policy that is really dictated to on a regular basis by a number of Christian organizations.
And I'm presuming when you say that, you believe negatively.
What we're really trying to say is there's a raft of legislation, things like teaching ethics in schools, the chaplains in schools, teaching evolution in public schools is getting more and more on the back burner because a lot of teachers are afraid of tackling those issues now, a lot of those science sort of issues, evolution and certainly human evolution, because they're challenged by the parents of those children who have fundamentalist beliefs. They might be Islamic or they might be from an evangelical organization. And what we're saying is that science is really taking a backseat in all of this. Our main role is talking about critical thinking, challenging of some of those points of view and ideas and myths that go back 2,000 years, but are affecting social policy, important social policy today.
Yeah. I say, though, that obviously from the view that you're taking, that you believe that the religious influence on this social policy and on scientific doctrine is impacting negatively
It most certainly is. Yeah. It most certainly is. And the big worry, Sonia, is that a lot of people would be unaware that certainly within Australia and all the Western countries, there's been a great influx in the last 10 years of fundamentalist and evangelical and creationist organizations from America that are really trying to influence a new generation of children. They have no qualms about it. They're saying, you know, we want to make all children in Australia disciples of Christ. Mm. Well, look, I think that our species has decided to let go of gods like Thor and Zeus and a thousand other gods. I mean, I think we've already got to be careful about how fundamentally attached Australia is today to some of those ancient beliefs.
And why, Brian, do you think that needs to be done in a formal way, other than sort of suggesting that individuals voice their own concerns about that?
Well, I think the reason for this, Sonia, is really quite plain, is that there are some very strong Christian lobbies, as I say, which are affecting this raft of social legislation. They certainly have entry level into a range of different governments, both state and federal, have a tremendous amount of influence and power. Certainly they're very wealthy organizations. And the point is that I think that unless there are organizations to say, well, look, hang on, there's another argument to this, a secular argument, a critical thinking argument that says that some of these religious principles, the way they affect society today, just need to be corrected.
I'm speaking with Brian Morris. Brian is the president of a new group called Atheism SA. Love to hear your views on the need for a group like this, 1300 222 891. You can also text us on 0467 922 891. Brian, would the formation of this group suggest that you believe that the views and beliefs of atheists have been ignored up until now, or largely ignored?
Well, that's perfectly true. We're often hearing the point of view of different religious groups on a broad raft of issues. So I think that it's really important that, certainly from the media's perspective, they recognise that when there is a debate, there's the federal body and there's the South Australian group. We now have a new website, atheismsa.org, which we're encouraging all people to go and visit. It's in its early stages, but there's a wealth of information and points of view in there that I think it's long overdue that they were made public. And so we really welcome, you know, as much debate as there possibly can be. But I think it's important that, you know, atheists, agnostics, non-believers, Australia is now very much a secular country, that those points of view are expressed publicly through the media.
You mentioned the chaplain's program for one. What other issues do you think Atheism SA will have a voice on?
Well, it's the whole scientific debate. I mean, there's no reason for people to be afraid of science. It's an incredible thing to say that almost 25% of people in Australia, almost one in four, still believe in the whole creationist sort of ethic of a 6,000-year-old Earth. You know, humans walked amongst dinosaurs 6,000 years ago and the Noah's flood. All of those things scientifically have been proved to be absolutely incorrect. And the problem with this is that it undermines science and scientific thought and philosophy, you know, right across the board. I mean, the basic sort of things about, you know, people who each year get vaccinations for flu. I mean, people don't realize that the whole evolutionary process that Darwin laid down 150 years ago is evident in our daily lives.
Jennifer's given us a ring from Hallett Cove, Brian. Hi, Jen.
Hello. Yeah, I think that it's very important that scientific views and also social views, such as the gentleman espousing, have put through, and to challenge the assumption that the churches have made that they've got a right to dictate on social policy, on matters like euthanasia and gay marriage, to people who don't share their beliefs.
So, Jennifer, you'd be pleased that there is this alternate view that's going to be espoused?
Yes, very much so. I think that the churches have dominated, have got an excess of influence for the numbers of people who follow them, and that they're having quite a negative impact in certain areas of social policy, apart from the challenge to science that the gentleman's already discussed.
Mm. All right. Thanks for your call, Jennifer. Just a couple of texts. Let's have a look. Ian says, our political leaders have let us down on so many moral issues simply because they don't want to offend the vocal religious mobs. Well done, and where do I join? But then this, atheist or belief and religion hatred. There is vile stuff on the web in the guise of atheism. A couple of more people happy about the fact that there is a group called Atheist SA. Where do I join? Hooray, how do I join? A couple of texts. It's a great idea. Is membership open to the public? Brian, I guess we should get you to answer that.
Well, absolutely, yes. What can I say? Is I think the first thing that I'd encourage all of your listeners, if you can just find 5 minutes, 10 minutes, to log on, www.atheismsa, all one word, .org. It's the first phase. It's phase one of a website. There's a lot of very interesting information in there. And I think we're talking about those moderate Christians and people of religious belief generally, is that all we'd say to you once in a while is to even to strengthen your own faith. And we're not suggesting people abandon their faiths overnight, but I think they should be challenged. I think we should all challenge our own beliefs. Mm. Periodically, to make sure that we're standing on firm ground. I think there's a lot of Christians and a lot of Muslims, Islamic people and other religions that probably just don't take that time to reassess.
Now, we'll come back and ask a couple of questions coming through on our text line in just a moment, but I want to get to some of our callers. Out at Plimpton, hello, Nick.
Oh, g'day. How are you going?
Yeah, well.
Look, I'd just like to congratulate Brian on his position, and although I'm not an atheist, I'm actually agnostic. I think in this situation is how can we make intelligent decisions about an increasingly technically driven society if we don't understand differences between myths of pseudoscience and New Age thinking. against testable hypotheses of science. So I think that what's going on here is, in an information age, why are people turning to these more mystical ways of thinking when really we're explaining more and more of the universe with science?
Mm. All right, Nick, thanks for your views at Flagstaff Hill. Jenny, good afternoon.
Oh, hi there.
What did you want to add to this?
Well, I just want to make a comment that while Christians are involved in lots of social policy, I do believe that there's a need for a balanced view. However, Christians are involved in schools, Anglicare, Uniting Care, the Salvos, Baptist Care, Catholic Care, St Vincent de Paul, hospitals, hospices, and World Vision. And look...
So they do good too, I guess, is your point.
They do. Yeah. They preserve the dignity of people. They're involved with justice and integrity in service, humility, shared responsibility. I think balanced view is fine, but to actually come down on the heavy that Christians are seeking to dominate social policy does tend to overlook the fact that Christians are actually out there serving.
And involved in social work, I guess.
And there is plenty of opportunity for atheists to get out there and do that too.
Jenny, thanks for your call. And Mike at Belair. Hello, Mike.
Oh, hello, Sonia. How are you?
Yeah, well...
I really concur with your last lady speaker as well. That was very, very well put. And perhaps just to add to that, I think the balanced view thing on both sides very good, but I don't think the unbalanced view or position that they have all of our Christian public holidays off is quite fair either. You know, they're entitled to their view, but, you know, don't take over Christmas and don't take over Easter. They are what we celebrate as practicing Christians.
It's a bit hard, though, if your work shuts down for that time, doesn't it?
Well, maybe...
I mean, I don't know if you go to the, the Adelaide Cup, but we have the Adelaide Cup public holiday. Do you go to work on that day instead?
Well, I go to work on Anzac Day because I don't believe in Anzac Day. So, I just don't think they should be hijacking these public holidays. He's talking about...
I guess I know, but what I'm saying is you often don't have a choice. If it's a public holiday and your work is not working, you can't go to work, can you?
Well, no, but as I was just making the point, you know, if he's talking about social change, well, let's have social change. Let's turn society upside down and let's change the way it is and let's make the atheists declare that they're not Christian and they're not going to celebrate or have those days off, and then those places can stay open while the Christians go away and celebrate what they want to celebrate.
All right. Well, do you think Mike's got a point? 1-300-222-891. I want to get to some of these texts that have come through. Greg says Parliament resembles a debating class at a religious school. Someone else says dying to see the Atheist Children's Charity or the Atheist Volunteers Group supporting mothers or the Atheist Hospital.
Yeah, I'd like to say something on that.
Where are they putting their money where their mouth is? And Jono says, if it provides a balance, then I guess there is a benefit. It is good to have the two sides of the story, from Jono. Brian, I've got a couple of questions on our text line which I want to put to you, but do you want to just quickly comment on anything that's been said already?
Well, absolutely. Yeah, there's a number of things there. A, we're not looking to turn society upside down. We're looking for an even break in terms of getting another point of view besides just the religious point of view on important social change. And going back to Jenny's call, well, look, I mean, if you go to the website, atheismsa.org, you'll see a whole range of secular charities, atheist charities, that do put their money where their mouth is. This is really the point. It's an issue that's been overlooked consistently for years and years and years. A lot of atheists provide a lot of their time, effort, money to put into... charitable work and building a better community.
You don't think charity is exclusive to religions or religious people?
Absolutely not. And as I say, there's a whole list of secular charities on the website. The point also is that we're also operating at a slight disadvantage, is that people may not be aware, but there's an excellent article put up by the Secular Party of Australia where... A very detailed 3,000-word article, very well researched and footnoted, that religious organisations have tax breaks and grants each year to the value of $31 billion. Now, I mean, there's an awful lot of money that religious organisations can do with that sort of money. A very small part of that would go an awful long way to building a whole better society. Coming from the secular side as well. I mean, we don't get those sorts of grants on the secular side.
Two questions I want to ask you that come through on our text line. Firstly, what is your view on Indigenous beliefs?
Again, we are not saying that people should not have their own beliefs, whether it's in the dreaming or a view with Islam and Christianity or whatever the belief may be. What we're saying is that once you have those beliefs, you should not dominate government and public discussion on a range of social issues.
And the other one is, at which point, says one of our texters, does no religion become a religion?
Oh, this is a classic one. We love this. I mean, atheism is a religion like not collecting stamps is a hobby. I mean, you can't get clearer than that, really.
All right. Thanks very much for your time, Brian. Brian Morris is president of Atheism SA, and if you want to find out more, he said it a few times. Atheismsa.org is the website. Good to talk with you, Brian. At Henley Beach, Stan, you wanted to make a comment. Hello, Stan. No, we've lost him. Okay, let me just have a quick look at these texts too. One person, Albie, says, I'm atheist and I volunteer. Surely I'm not alone. I just don't claim the high moral ground. And in relation to, I think it was Mike's call, several texts here. One person says, Jeff at Victor Harbour says, fool, pagan holidays were hijacked by Christianity. Easter, Christmas precede Christ. And John says Christian public holidays are a commercial proposition only. Buy gifts and chocolate. No Christian values on these days. And Greg says, let's take a Christmas holiday and celebrate Saturnalia. They were festivals before Christ.